Onni and Alva fell easily into domestic life on the islands. While Alva had been in Geraldton with Hilda that first month, Onni had built the sauna. A warmth spread out inside of her when he presented it. "Makes sense out here," he said, "with fresh water being scarce." But Alva understood it was a gift to her, even if he would not admit it. From then on, they used the sauna instead of the bucket bath, sweating out their day's work before briefly splashing their naked bodies with a ladle of fresh water. Oh, how it all shouted to Alva of home, the hot, dry air roaring up her nostrils whenever she took a breath, the sweat gathering on her hairline and slippery on her thighs, and the dark, relaxing quiet. Afterwards, she would wash little baby Hilda in the bucket of water, adding a splash of hot from the stove, and then the clothes. When Onni went out fishing, Alva cooked, watched over Hilda, and decorated the tin hut. She'd collected a discarded float, a sun-bleached, porous old thing, and fed fisherman's rope through the centre, knotting two lures and a gnarled fish hook to the end. When she was finished, she hung it from the rafters. Yes, the hut was slowly finding its character. Each day, Alva would walk the rocky perimeter of Little Rat with Hilda wrapped tight and slung across her chest. She scanned the ground, looking for small treasures. A knob of dried coral to sit on the windowsill. A roe abalone shell in which to place the soap. A splinter of driftwood, its surface rubbed smooth by the water, on which she wrote, "Little Rat Island, April 1960, before putting it next to the coral fragment. Now, Alva stood in the doorway of the camp, looking out at the skewed jetty and the scrappy islands beyond. She had a broom in her hand and leaned her weight against its long handle. Hilda lay in a makeshift crib just inside the door, clenching and unclenching her tiny fists. The islands were a poor excuse for a home, thought Alva, as she took in the view of the archipelago. To think that people had looked at them and thought, yes, these should do just fine. She looked about and shook her head in wonder, her watery blue eyes giving away her overwhelming delight, for how glad she was to be here. "We feel like strangers in that big, hot, dusty country," Petra had said when Alva told her about the terror of birth and those quiet, solitary weeks spent in Geraldton. "But these islands, these we can make our own." Alva smiled, feeling the sun crisp and warm on her bare arms. She was as happy as she would ever be. Then, typically, her Aunt Eitha's old proverb intruded. "Itku pitkas tailosta," cry after a long happiness. She swept her superstitions away, bringing the broom across the timber floor and boldly pushing the dust out the door. Quietly, Alva crooned a lullaby. "Tu tu tu pakirulla. Mistä Hilda tiesi tulla? Roll, roll, rolled cigarette. Where did Hilda know to come from?" She sang the silly words as much to herself as to her daughter, a bird song for this parallel universe, somewhere between land and water. Alva waited for the sound of the boats motoring back to the home reef at mid-morning. Already the fishermen had pulled their cray pots and tossed their catch into hessian bags before baiting the pots for the following day. She and Onni would have lunch, salted mackerel on black rye, and perhaps doze together in the hot blue noon, the tin camp cocooning this small family against all that lay beyond Little Rat.